Hey guys, welcome into another episode of From the Wing. I'm Christian Clark, the Pelicans beat writer for the Times Picayune and NOL.com. The New Orleans Pelicans will have the 14th pick in next month's draft. There was no lottery miracle for them. They came into the night with, I think, a 2.4% chance of getting up into the top four. Did not hit on that. Story of the night, the San Antonio Spurs got the number one pick. Wemby's going to Texas. Get his cowboy boots ready. Get him a big old cowboy hat. Do you think he knows that there's a Paris, Texas too?
I'm sure he'll find out very quickly in his first media availability when someone makes the joke. That's coming. Most boring outcome possible. The Spurs get their guy again. Pop is like a cockroach who just won't go away. He's Hall of Famin'. They're building statues and the guy just won't leave. And now he's got the next iteration of Tim Duncan, the new evolution, a big dude that can do literally everything and will probably do whatever he says.
Wemby seems pretty cultured. Like, do you think he's going to think Tex-Mex is disgusting? I mean, I love Tex-Mex, but it's a lot of processed cheese. Like, will he look at that and be like, oh, how do you guys eat this stuff?
One can only hope. I really like that is the version of this that I want. I want like Wemby bringing European culture to San Antonio. That's what I want. But I also do want to see him go on a taco adventure. I really just want to see him really hit the street taco scene hard. I want to see his first time messing with some elotes, and see how he likes that. Like, I want all of it. I give me the full Americana experience. I want him on the Riverwalk. I want him in a sombrero, but I also want him bringing a taste of Europe to the San Antone.
Pelicans are going to have to play this guy four times a year too. Southwest Division.
Look, there's already stuff like, Greg Popovich, greatest tanker in NBA history. Prove me wrong. Can't do it.
I mean, can't do it. Right. It's indisputable.
This man gets DeJounte Murray, you know, great player, great defensive player, solid point guard, you know, shooter we could debate. Gets him up out of there. Make sure they don't mess around winning 35, 36 games. Get that jack shit out of here.
Great, boom. Great return for DeJounte Murray too. Great return.
Oh, yeah. High. Oh yeah. And Vassell and Devin Vassell still there. And like, they have interesting guys around him. So like, they're immediately going to be interesting. The question is going to be like, the roster's still pretty far away.
Well, I was going to ask you, I mean, how do you think Wemby will adjust to playing with Devontae Graham? Do you think there's room enough on the roster for both of them?
There are only so many shots to go around.
Wemby, clear up.
I just want to see them stand next to each other. I don't even need anything else. They don't even need to play. I just need the game to start and them to sit next to each other. That's what I just want to see the Muggsy Bogues effect happen. Because it's gonna be really great. Especially like, I just want to see like Devontae at the top kicks it to his right. After he takes a three-pointer in one possession, kicks it to his right on the next possession, and 7'5" gargantuan jacks a three as well. It's like, oh, okay. We got to defend a six-footer and a 7'4" guy, and they're both going to shoot 8 threes a game. What is this world?
Yeah, man. I mean, the Spurs have, I think, some nice role players. We both love Jeremy Sochan. I'm really high on what he could do. I mean, they're just in a nice spot, I feel like. I mean, there's not going to be pressure to be good immediately. I mean, they might be more competitive than we even think next year. Maybe Wemby is just that good. But I feel like, you know, it's going to be a small market. Like, they're going to be able to build steadily, build slowly, great infrastructure in place. I mean, you've got the Tony Parker factor, where I believe Wemby was playing on a team in France at one point that Tony Parker owned. I think there's a relationship there. So I think it's going to be good from a lot of different angles. It's going to be interesting. How much longer is Pop going to go now? Is this going to rejuvenate him? Is he going to be like Joe Biden and, you know, just try to coach until he's 86?
Yes.
Oh, are we going to be looking at this in 10 years and being like, oh, this guy is still the coach of the Spurs?
Yeah, man. The, you know, nuclear weapons get fired, cockroaches, and Greg Popovich. You know, that's where we are. Death taxes, Greg Popovich. Every cliche. He's just going to be
here. For a guy who's going to be 82 when it's time to run again, Adam. But we don't need to go down that road.
This is a world. This is the world we live in. It's the gerontological strike has occurred. This is just what we're doing. It's hard. It's hard in these streets. Everybody else is getting fired. Every other coach in the world's getting fired. There's not a world where Greg Popovich could ever get sent out of that job. He's got it.
It feels
till the world ends.
I mean, it feels like it would have to go poorly, like three seasons in a row with Wemby, and you're going into the final year of his rookie deal, and they still haven't sniffed the playoffs, and he's kind of unhappy. Like maybe then it could happen, but it's very hard to envision any reality or any timeline where it's like, Pop, you got to get out of here. He's just accomplished so much that it's like,
yeah,
it's your call, boss.
Yeah. Like it's honestly like when we talk about the same guys all the time, like you talk about him in the same breath that you talk about Bill Belichick, you talk about him in the same breath that you talk about Nick Saban. And honestly, I could see both of them losing their job faster than I could see Greg Popovich being escorted out of his. He runs that city. He runs that team. He is that team. Like when you think of the San Antonio Spurs, he is the first thing. They have historic players. They have all-time historic players. He is the first face that comes to mind. So that means he's a transcendent coach. It is what it is. And the dude apparently ain't got no quit. It's kind of like, I feel like maybe one day he's going to pull a Pat Riley and go into the management side because he can't quite let it go. And then as soon as the young coach screws up, he's going to call his own number. He's going to come back down. He's going to coach again because, he ain't done, baby. It's just not going to end. It's never going to end.
I can't wait for the Wemby Tim Duncan convos and people asking Wemby, oh, you got to talk to Tim. What did you learn from him? That's like, seems like it's a little better version of whenever the Pelicans got Zion and he talked to Drew Brees, and Zion like 10,000 times was like, Drew Brees told me if you love New Orleans, it'll love you back. Which is true. It's very true advice, and it is good advice, but it was just funny to hear Zion say that 100 times in the exact same inflection.
Yeah, we don't need to get into my thoughts on Zion's speaking points again. How do you feel about the top four? Is there any, not much of a huge shakeup? There's a slight Portland jump, but not quite the big. If the Spurs getting the one is the big news of the day, the big disappointment of the day is the Detroit Pistons falling to five, and they are out of they're in the Thompson twin territory. They kind of get the screw job here of the folks with the worst records. Is there anything else stick out to you? Thoughts on Detroit?
Yeah. I mean, Detroit falling to five, that was obviously disappointing for them. I mean, they just did get the number one pick and were able to draft Cade Cunningham. So I honestly can't feel too bad for them. I mean, there was a moment like they do 14 through five, and then ESPN goes to commercial break before revealing the top four. So during that commercial break, there was a moment where it's like, oh, is Portland going to get the number one pick? They timed this tank perfectly, to have just enough odds where it's like, this could happen. Like the last few years of Dame Lillard's career, there's a reason for him to stay there if they get Victor Wembanyama. I'm just interested to see, like, is Dame, truly going to be a trailblazer for life? Do they have anything where they can get, a legit running mate next to him or anything like that? And I guess the other thing too is, what is Portland going to do at number three? Cause I guess let's just assume that Charlotte at number two takes Brandon Miller. Do they take Scoot Henderson? I mean, Scoot Henderson is a lead guard, and then you're kind of back. You have the same problem of, well, we've got two small guards. We've got to give the rock to it. They've also got Simons, obviously, too. I don't know. I mean, could it be like Portland's time to move on from Dame, or could they just try to trade the number three pick and get something?
I feel like when in doubt recently, whatever Portland could do that it has the most short-term gain and long-term who gives a shit is usually what happens. So let's say Dame stays. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, still assuming that Scoot Henderson's going to end up in Charlotte at two because we said he was two for so long. I think Charlotte goes Brandon Miller, like you said. I think you look at LaMelo and you're like, LaMelo and Scoot versus LaMelo and Miller. LaMelo and Miller makes a ton of sense. There's a ton they can do. LaMelo wants to drive, and you're like, you to use Scoot correctly, the ball's got to be in his hands, which is the conundrum with Portland. It's the same thing. It's not just a lead guard, but it's a lead guard that really like pounds the ball. It wouldn't shock me if they just did like the weird thing where like, let's take the hopeful young athletic guy and add him to Shaedon Sharpe and friends and like deal Anfernee Simons for whatever we can get for him. And just keep building the show around Dame. You know, Scoot gives you a little bit different look. He's a really stout dude. He's going to defend. And it's not quite like Simons is a little bit of like a Dame clone, right? Like in terms of the attempted play style with varying rates of success. We've seen him get streaky and be really good, and we've seen him disappoint. But he's shown that he has the potential to score at a high level. But you're going to have defensive problems there all the time. Scoot is a little short, but he's a brick shit house. So I think it'd just go that way, and it wouldn't shock me if Simons just gets dealt for whatever they can get, and you know they do this thing again with all the same pieces in Scoot and hope that Shaedon evolves and it just all works, and it probably amounts to like a 9 seed.
So right behind Portland, Houston Rockets get the 4th pick. By the way, I'm happy that Houston get the number 1 pick. That would have just left a bad taste in my mouth after all the things, the way they've conducted business the past 2 years, and also the hiring of Ime Udoka. I'm not opposed to it. I don't know exactly what happened. Generally, I'm a believer that everyone deserves second chances, but just based on the things I've heard about what happened, I didn't want to see Ime Udoka like get Victor Wembanyama as soon as he gets back in the game. I'll just say that. I didn't want to see him win the Wemby sweepstakes while on stage. But they land at number 4. That feels like a prime spot for a Thompson twin. You can move off of Kevin Porter Jr., move Jalen Green to the wing, to the 2 or whatever, which is where he should be. He's not really a lead guard. I think he's best as, you know, a guy who somebody is making plays for him. Like, that makes a lot of sense to me. Go get a Thompson twin, put the ball on his hands, let him create, move Jalen Green off the ball. You got a Thompson twin, Jalen Green, and Jabari Smith, and that's your core.
And I believe, like, just based on the mocks and how everything's going, I think we started off the year with Usar and Amen in the kind of like back-to-back picks in most mock drafts. And I think they've kind of separated. It looks like Amen Thompson is kind of the preferred Thompson twin. So, you know, if he's there, assuming he's there at 4, that makes a ton of sense to me. Like you said, I agree with you. Jalen Green's a little small, but we've seen him spray it from 3. And if you can get him open for those kickouts and stuff, that's going to work for him. That's what his game is. He can light it up if you let him. And he can take all kind of shots on the run and stuff like that. And some nights he's going to make 8 out of 10 of them. It can get wild. He's done it to us. I think that makes all the sense in the world. I, too, am also happy. Like I've said on the podcast, it was the number 1 team I didn't want to get the 1st overall pick. Houston hasn't done anything right in years, and I just don't want to see them get rewarded for any part of this process. Otherwise, I was fine with pretty much everybody else. My like outside hope, it's not like Charlotte does anything particularly well as an organization either. And I like wanted them just because I wanted to free up some big guys. And then the Orlando dream was just killed right off the bat. That's the only like outside weird secondary fan thing. It just would have been such a freak show to see Wembanyama, Franz, and Paolo all on the same team. Then I have the outside hope that the Pelicans can go swoop in and get Wendell Carter. That is now probably in the dust, buried. But hey, look, it's an okay outcome. It's not my favorite. You know, take my 0.5% to jump us to 1. You know, I did it once on Tankathon on a first spin, and then it never happened again. So wasn't likely, didn't happen. What else do we have? So like, how excited are you for the next month to be able to say Grady Dick over and over and over again on here?
two words, dick hive.
Yeah. The dick hive? Is that what are we the dick hive? Are you the dick hive? Are you a member of the dick hive?
I think I might be. I kind of during the season, probably a month and a half ago, I started the dick bandwagon, you know, like probably 60% as a joke, 40% because I actually think that his game kind of fits on this Pelicans roster. You know, like just give me another 6'8" guy who can shoot the ball, high release. Like, sure. Sounds great. I think he'd play a little bit from what I've seen. I think he's an interesting option. I mean, it's just so early. And when you're at 14, you know, a lot of ways. Positionally, what do you think they even need? I mean, you're going to draft more on talent than need, obviously. But I could see them going big. I could see them getting a wing. I could even see them going guard. I could see them doing a lot of different things.
Yeah, I think you put out an article with the possibilities. I think all the names you had in there are the ones. I think we know that we will not allow the team to have the lack of ball handling options and the lack of big depth that we had this year. If there is an absence of BI and Zion, I think there will be a plan for that this year. We will not be hoping that Jackson Hayes is playable. They will address those two issues one way or the other. But I do think, the guys you highlighted, like Derek Lively, is obviously the big. It wouldn't shock me. He's kind of like taller Jared Allen in terms of like what he is right now. Jared Allen's obviously a lot more skilled, but it's rim defender, running big. You know, the athleticism's interesting. If you can turn him into anything else, then he gets really interesting. But otherwise, it's wings that can shoot or wings that can defend. That's our MO. And then the other way to go is like a ball handler that can also shoot. I would love to see him be able to address two of the needs in one pick. That's a tough ask. Like, you're at 14. You're kind of just going to take the best player that's there, given how the board falls.
Just pick the player you think has the best chance to be special.
Yeah.
You know,
just swing on upside and hope for the best.
Yeah.
They've been pretty good at judging these guys. So, you know, whatever that is, whatever version of that, you'll adjust the roster accordingly.
Have they?
I mean, I think very recently, like Trey's a teens pick.
Yeah. Great pick.
Herb's a great pick. Like very
had the number four pick in the 2019 draft and got squat out of it.
Well,
they're the 13th pick.
They're undrafted. Following year's draft.
Yeah,
they're undrafted. They're solid. Yeah,
I would say overall, it's a pretty good draft record. Every team in the NBA has some hits. They have some misses.
Yeah.
I think the Pelicans do have like a good talent evaluating operation. I'm not disparaging that in any way. Here are the last 14 picks. I wrote these
just
down.
Just out here giving me shit.
I am. Ochai Agbaji. Moses Moody. I was going to say that like
Moody,
part, but I decided
Moody,
to
Moody, Moody Moses.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Aaron Nesmith. Romeo Langford. Michael Porter Jr. Bam Adebayo. Denzel Valentine. Cam Payne. TJ Warren. And the legend, Shabazz Muhammad. I think he was 31 when he got picked.
Oh, so a guy with a broken back and a bunch of dudes, just random dudes that are on or not on teams. Yeah. Well, so, you know, Bam was that's what you swing on. Swung on hyper athletic switchy guy and see if he turns into anything else. We're still debating what his ceiling is. We still don't know. Because offensively, he waffles.
Draft is a crapshoot, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what you do. Like, that's why Bam is proof in that list of names. Bam is proof of why you swing at talent. He's athletic as hell and he's a good defender. We'll figure it out. Like, we'll hope for the best. And he developed a little bit of an offensive game. And then there's dreams that he could take it a step further. We've kind of yet to see that. He's still a great player and you love him in the playoffs. Look at what Miami's doing right now. You know, we talk about 82 versus 16 guy right there.
For sure. So when I look at the Pelicans roster composition and how I think they will try to address some of their deficiencies, you know, one thing I heard was, look, we know that we need more creation, you know, just because of Zion and Brandon's health issues. I think that's something they'll try to address, just, you know, adding a little more creation to this roster, shooting certainly. But I also think there is like a personality component. I mean, one thing I've kind of heard consistently for a month is, you know, just relating to this idea of accountability that Griff talked about over and over again in the second half of the season. You might hate this. I kind of love this. I think the Pelicans might feel like they kind of need another a-hole in the room.
Like, I don't mind. I don't mind as long as it's not like Pat Beverly or Dylan Brooks.
I think Pat Beverly is a guy they've like had some serious interest in the past. Dylan Brooks, I don't know what anybody's going to do. Yeah, he just does too many dumb things, so I think you kind of have to rule him out. But if God forbid Draymond Green became available, like it's not a good basketball fit. But like that type of personality, where it's like, Brandon Ingram, you're going to miss 29 games in a row with a little boo-boo on your toe. That's unacceptable. It's not how we win. Like, I feel like that's kind of, you know, a feeling of what they need.
Yeah. Guy I didn't know was this guy until this year, Kyle Anderson.
Yeah.
Had no idea he was that guy. Been a quiet dude and kind of like a, you know, kind of journeyman rotation guy that fits a lot of places, does some weird stuff, can handle a little bit. Kyle Anderson's kind of that guy, and he's like a weird big that fills a lot of roles. Maybe slow-mo. Maybe you can get slow-mo off of Minnesota. Who knows?
I love Kyle Anderson. But what happened was...
You love everybody that all my friends hate. You love everybody that everybody I know hates. It's amazing. So you...
Okay. Washington at number 8. I think they would have been a very interesting Wemby destination. I don't know. Any thoughts on the Wizards?
I don't know. I mean, the Wizards are like destined to be a tweener floater team. Like, they're just going to pay a bunch of guys that amount to 42 wins, and that's their peak. That's feels like that's what it is, right? We're going to pay everybody that's there and just kind of keep doing this thing because Beal never leaves. They're like the least interesting. They're one of the least interesting teams in the NBA to me. They're either hurt or they're the middle and there's nothing else.
I basically just wanted to bring up Washington. To just drop this little nugget in here.
I know.
There's some smoke about Trajan Langdon and Washington. I don't know exactly how far it's gotten, but you know, I'm seeing a lot of smoke. It's interesting. Just put it like that. It's interesting.
Keep your eye on that papal chimney. The Cardinals have nearly made their selection here, and maybe it's our guy. Might be. It's going to be weird. Can tell you what. Prediction of the fan base reaction. No, we're ruined. Trajan did everything. None of them can tell me which responsibilities are his, but they will be outraged.
I think it's like, it's so hard to figure out specific wins for people in the front office structure because it's so often a collaborative process. And, you know, I think there are some instances where it's like one person, you know, overwhelmingly made this thing happen, but like it's so often collaborative, it's, you know, tough. I think it would be, if it happens, and it seems like it's pretty early in the process too, but if it happens, I mean, you know, like Trajan's heavily involved on the scouting side. He has a lot of connections. You know, this was a guy who was a college star, played in the NBA, and then went on to star in Europe. Like, he has connections in all those places. So it would hurt to lose that. Everyone I've ever talked to who's worked in New Orleans has enjoyed working with him. Like, he kind of has that effect on people of like, even the people who necessarily didn't have great experiences, they don't have anything bad to say about Trajan. And I think that's like a real positive for you as a person. If like everybody works with you is like, good guy, you know? Yeah. And hard the last thing I would say is that if there is, you know, like a vacuum there, you know, I would my gut tells me they would promote internally. I won't throw around any names, but that would be my gut.
I think people, the hardcorest of hardcore will have a guess given, you know, names that have been publicized in the past and given who's been invited to places to do things and represent the team. Interestingly enough, like, you know, say tonight.
But nothing has happened yet. So
yeah,
we can't go too far down this road.
The one thing I will say, like, this may be emotional. This may be like not even founded in reality. I will assume that our European scouting will suffer if Trajan leaves. Just based on everything we've heard reported on historically, it feels like one of the benefits of having him here is that you have a really, really good understanding of what's happening in those leagues because of the time and the connections he has out there. And I do wonder if that suffers and if that's like a very tangible, measurable loss. But like you said, hasn't happened. We don't know. Not sure. Keep an eye on the chimney. Might be black smoke. Might be white. We don't know.
I mean, kind of related to that, are you ready for the Carlo Mackovich revolution?
You're talking to one of the Carlo crazies, all right? The Carlo crazies are ready and waiting. We're just hanging out, waiting for the star of Megabasket to get over here and start yamming on fools. It's coming. It is coming. We're ready. You know, Pierre Jackson, my ass. We're so far behind. Carlo is coming to fix the big rotation. He is. He just is. It's the greatest stash of all time. You know what's going to really kill me? If Trajan takes that damn job and he takes Carlo Mackovich with him, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be pissed because then you know it's a gem.
I don't think he can do that. The Pelicans have his rights.
What if he like he might like trade for him or something? I just feel like somehow he would maneuver and be like, oh, you know what? We need this Mackovich guy, and I can just like picture him in a Wizards jersey, and it would really bother me. I haven't even seen the dude play in a real game that's not like just highlights in an empty gym, but still.
I watched two of his EuroBasket games last summer, and let me tell you, here are 37 thoughts I have. Just kidding. I just think it's so fun to be like, oh, this guy overseas who we don't know that much about, like, he could help us so much. Like Didi Luzada, for example. I remember, like, I did this whole thing when he was coming over. It was like, Didi Luzada, like, you know, like, here's his whole training program in Australia, and what did he score, 7 points at the Pelicans?
I mean, you know, rest in peace to Mario Hezonja. You know, it's like that's the guys, right? Like the Dario Saric's and everything. Like, you just never know what you get. Ricky Rubio was one of the ones that like didn't want to come over, and then he turned into something. Like, some of them work out, some of them don't. Hard to know which ones it's going to be. But hey, you know, big, you know, European bigs tend to be pretty successful. He's got a nice, like, fundamental base with his pick and roll game and his like around the basket play. Just like the simple stuff, he does it pretty well. Can't be mad at it. Maybe, you know, maybe he shows a little athleticism sometimes, a little bouncy. You know, so, you know, you never know. Maybe Carlo's coming to a theater near you.
I want to correct a factual error. I think I said 7 career points for Didi Luzada with the Pelicans. It was 8. I just looked it up in Basketball Reference. It was 8.
You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed of yourself for skimming that 1 point. You really should. It's disappointing. Do better.
All right, Adam. I think that is everything I've got on this lottery. It's kind of a bummer. Wemby's going to be in the Southwest Division. If it wasn't the Pelicans, I wanted him to go East. But those are the breaks.
Those are the breaks. I'm sorry. We don't need me rapping here. Let's get cut it. Cut it. Let's go.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.